Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Edition Scripture Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this evening. We are going to be talking about, fellowship versus discipleship. We will talk about spiritual growth. In the next couple of episodes, I just wanted to be able to talk about and to encourage the brothers in where we are in Christ, where we are in our faith, where we are in our faith walk. You know, we're called to grow. The Bible speaks so much of us growing in the grace and knowledge of God, growing into mature saints, moving from milk to meat. And tonight I wanted to focus on two terms that we use a lot in church. We use fellowship a lot. Most times it has to do with meals, but we want to break that down a little bit and what it truly means, amen, for understanding. And also about discipleship, because a lot of us, are you being discipled, or are you discipling someone? I think that's the biggest thing we have to realize, that we're called to make disciples, not converts, not church members, the Great Commission calls us to go into all the world and make disciples. Amen? So are we doing that? Are we preparing ourselves to be able to do that? Are we growing? You know, something I learned a long time ago, when the first pastor told me, when it comes to the things of God, it comes to scripture and the spiritual things, we learn to be able to teach. And I think that encapsulates what it means to be a disciple and about discipleship in the body of Christ. So, again, brothers, we're going to talk a little bit about it. Call in at 646-668-2636. You can press 1 on your keypad and join the conversation. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, we'd like to welcome you. Let me open with prayer. We're going to go right into the conversation. We're going to touch on a couple of things. I encourage you, get a notebook, a piece of paper, a pen, something, write down some scriptures, because we want to I'm going to give a lot of some scripture references for us to look at. So when we talk about discipleship and fellowship, that we're talking about the same thing. Because I think that's the biggest thing we have to be able to do in the body of Christ. When we use words that we're talking about, we have a definition of the word that we're talking about. Amen. So again, I thank you for joining us. Press one on your keypad. You want to join the conversation? Let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now, God. I thank you for all that you are and all that you've done, Lord God. Father, I thank you for healing power, Lord God. For those in my family, those in my church, oh God. For those who are just going through the challenges of physical challenges, Lord God. We pray for their healing. We pray for their restoration, Lord God. Father, we ask you to continue, God, to use your church, God, to encourage your church, to strengthen your church, to strengthen the men in the church, to strengthen the husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God. Because in these times, oh God, there's a lot of challenges, oh God, to our flesh, to our minds, to our emotions, God. But Father, today I pray for peace over the lives of men today. I pray, God, that peace, no matter their circumstances, no matter their temptations, their trials, their failures, their shortcomings, God. I pray peace over the hearts and minds of men today, Lord God. Continue to strengthen them, God. Continue to lead them as they lead in church, in the home, in the community. And God, I thank you right now for what you've done in my life, oh God, in the lives of my brothers that are on the line, Lord God. Father, I ask that you keep us, cover us, lead us, God, in righteousness, and lead us, God, to live obedient lives and live in your will, and the purpose that you created us for. So I thank you. I give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, tonight, again, brothers, we're going to be talking about fellowship and discipleship, and we're going to touch on a couple of things. Amen. First, let me bring my brothers in here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Pastor Watkins, can you hear me, sir?
Hey, Dinkafar, how you doing, sir?
Wonderful, wonderful. Good evening, sir. Thank you for joining us, taking time out, and being part of what we're talking about today. Amen?
Amen. Amen. My pleasure.
And, all right. I mean, who else I have here? Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Last four numbers is 5381. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon. Good evening, Pastor. How you guys doing this evening?
Hey, all right, brother. How you
good
feeling?
Evening. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me, as always.
Amen, amen. All right. Well, gentlemen, we're going to jump right in. I'm going to read a couple of things. We're going to start off with discipleship. And I think I'm going to start there because I believe that's something we have to encourage the brothers in. Because when it comes to discipleship, it's a lot to it. But there's a couple of words I want to use to get to start us off with it. When we're called to be disciples, we're called to be followers, one who accepts and assists in the spreading of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Being a disciple, being discipled, and being a disciple, it's one of those things where I think we have to learn to be under submission and be obedient, even in our natural, that we are willing to come under someone and be taught the things of God, to be able to be mentored, encouraged, and held accountable by another brother. And I think that's the first challenge when we come out of the world or we come to a place where, we have to, I think submission and obedience is one of the biggest challenges the enemy uses to keep men from truly being discipled. And then the third part to that is living sacrificial lives. I want to start with you, Pastor Watkins. When we talk about being a disciple, we talk about submission, obedience, and being sacrificial. Those are, I think, some of those main traits when we talk about being disciples. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, that is the definition of being disciples. But as I was doing some studying in this and looking at the definitions of words and what they truly mean, I think I'm coming up with a different opinion than that which you have. Now, we can have a
That's
wonderful
okay,
debate
bro. That's
here.
That's okay. We'll see. Yeah. We're going to see how this works out. Even though, I'm going to see how wrong you are. Go ahead.
And play devil's advocate here, okay? So we're talking about discipleship. And one, a disciple, like you said, is a follow that helps to disseminate the message or the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means that a disciple is a follower, a student, an acolyte, a helper. You know, they are an assistant. Those type of words come to mind when you talk about being a disciple. And a disciple is just one that has accepted Jesus Christ and is now willing to go around and help to spread the message of Jesus Christ so that there can be the creation of other disciples which become followers of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, yes, it requires the responsibility. It requires the growth to be able to witness. It requires the commitment, and it requires all of those things. But more importantly, I think, and this is where I have the dissenting opinion, is that fellowship is more important than discipleship. The reason being is fellowship is more than just, like you said, having a meal. Fellowship is just more than us meeting in church. Fellowship is more than a pancake breakfast. Fellowship is more than getting together and washing cars. Fellowship actually speaks to companions and relationship. And before one can truly become enough of a disciple to create other disciples, one must first have relationship. So that relationship builds you enough, creates an intimacy with you and the person, or with you and Jesus, or you and God, whichever you want, whichever term you would like to use, so that as we grow in our fellowship, we now then become strong enough to become disciples to be able to spread that message. But there first has to be relationship before there can be fellowship. And this is the opinion that I got while I was studying. But discipleship is the thing that we are called to do, to go into the land, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, to baptize them in the name of Jesus, and to bring them into the fold. This is the Great Commission, as you said. And this is the important thing, but there must be first a relationship. You have to first have acknowledged him that he is the Father, and that he died for our sins, and that he rose again, and that he now sits at the right hand of God. And you must now have confessed that, believed it in your heart, and now accepted him as your Lord and Savior. So there's first the relationship, fellowship. And then there is the discipleship. What do you think, sir?
Amen. So before I come back, but I just want to be clear, because you're saying that fellowship, you feeling that fellowship is should come first, or is more important to the process of discipleship, or are they separate entities, or go ahead.
No, I think fellowship should come first, because you can have fellowship without discipleship, but you cannot have discipleship without fellowship.
Okay. Amen. 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 Pastor Mark, Elder Mark, what do you say, sir?
Well, you know, I really like where you came from with that, Pastor Larry. It really, because one of the first things I've learned in men's ministry is that you have to get to know where somebody is before you can start to minister to them, before you can disciple them, before you can teach or try to show them anything. You got to understand who they are and where they are. So that comes from fellowship. So I do totally agree with you that what you said, it illuminates it perfectly. You can't have discipleship without fellowship, but you can have fellowship without, you know, you can't have fellowship without discipleship. I would say, yes, discipleship is dependent upon building a rapport, building a relationship. But I don't think that – I think that what we have to understand, too, and I'm coming from a different aspect. Deacon Farr, you mentioned and you spoke about submission and obedience. And I think as men, we're so leery of being submissive that when we hear the word – when we hear that word, it automatically means that we're going to be in a weakened state. We're not going to be the strong, upstanding man that we proclaim ourselves to be because we're giving in to somebody else. And I think that fellowship allows us to build a relationship that we can see that it's not about taking anything from you but helping you to gain something in discipleship. When you are submitting to Christ, when you are submitting to the word, when you are submitting to a greater power, to a greater force, recognizing that you aren't the one in control. You have the choices, but the one in control is God and God himself. And, you know, I think that the fellowship part should be and really is, I agree with you, Pastor Larry, that it is the basis. It is the basis and beginning step for discipleship. You know, When Jesus met his disciples, they built relationship first. Excuse me, sorry for the background noise. They built relationship first, and then they decided to follow. There was something he showed them that they realized, that they recognized the power, strength. They recognized something about him that he would then follow. So he showed them something that allowed them to recognize who he was and to get a bearing of his life. And I think that's the reason that they were in a place to become disciples. And we as men are in that same place. When we're talking about discipling men, men don't want to hear, come give up your life and do as I say when they don't know nothing about the life you're living. So I think, yes, fellowship definitely takes a precedent in building, in moving into discipleship. I think it's quite important and a very important part of discipleship, but I still do recognize that they are two separate entities, if that answers the question. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. Lord, help me. You know, I hear you, both of your perspectives, and the problem is I'm thinking and talking at the same time. But, amen. Because you're right, and I think this is one of the things that we have to do, especially when it comes to men's ministry, when it comes to ministering to men, that I think it's a combination of both. But there's also a balance, because I'm gonna come back to y'all because I want to get your perspective on, can there be too much fellowship and we never get to the disciple part? Because even in that, we can build fellowship with non-believers or with baby Christians, but where's the point that now we have to have a balance? Because we could do a lot of things that are not about Christ, call it fellowship, just because I'm hanging out with Christians or Christian men or men profess to be Christians, and I'm in fellowship with them, but am I growing spiritually? Amen? So I think that's one of the things, that's where I want to tweak in and focus on. But let me read this while you meditate on that. I want to read something here for your hearing and for the brothers that are listening. So it says that fellowship in the New Testament means essentially a partnership of mutual benefit for those involved. Christian fellowship is a mutual beneficial relationship between Christians who cannot have the identical relationship with those outside the faith. Is that our relationship with each other that are Christians who are believers is different from the relationship that we have with non-believers, basically. That fellowship, when we talk about fellowship, it's about being intertwined in each other's lives. And like you, I think you both said it, the fellowship brings us to know one another, to know where we are, to know what we're dealing with, who we are, to get to know our personality. And I think that's important, but also in that takes a level of submission, of transparency, to get to that place. And I think a lot of it is, a lot of brothers, before they get to that level of what we want to really call fellowship, you know, they step away. They are not really as transparent. They're only going to go so far. So now we have to determine, you know, At what point are we going to, we want to bring them into the fold? Because the whole goal here, again, is to bring them to Christ, to help them grow in Christ. Because we could, if, you know, unfortunately, we could fellowship folk for 20, 30 years, but they have not grown in Christ. They have not matured in Christ. And some people may not even be saved because people are part of quote unquote fellowships for years, and yet they are not saved because they've never been taken to that next level. They get to know folk, they hang out. Something I always say, you know, things that we have to be mindful of is that we let our churches turn into just social clubs. We do a lot of things together. We hang out a lot of things together. We're not doing what we used to do in the world and think that's salvation, and think that because we're not doing the stuff we used to do, we're going to, family-friendly, G-rated activities together. That means now we're Christians and we're not doing what we used to do. But that's not discipleship, because we can do that and just change our social group, where we're not doing what we used to do. So now we think we're doing something different, but in God's eyes, He still doesn't see us. He doesn't see us as converts. He doesn't see us as His disciples. You're in a fellowship. It's like that old saying: just because you hang around in church all the time, don't make necessarily mean you say. So that's where I want to be able to look at that dynamic, and then us as men individually see where we are for the brothers that are listening. And then, understand when we realize, and then we push past that line, that now that we're together, we want to grow in faith together. And I think that's a very important thing that we have to be looking out for. Again, I want to read something from an article that I found, and then I'm gonna come back to you, Elder Mark. It says, "Those who believe the gospel are united in the Spirit through Christ to the Father, and that unity is the basis of fellowship. This relationship is described by Jesus as a high priest when he prayed in John 17:23. John 17:23. He prayed, 'I have given them the glory that you have gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity so that the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.'" And I think that's where we want to see that unity. That's where the fellowship starts, with building that unity. And I think that's important. But then we have to, again, when do we make the transition to now we're discipling? Because to be converts, to be growing in the faith, growing in Christ. Because remember, we are called to be disciples of Christ. So once we get comfortable with one each other, it's important now that we, as men, we encourage now our brothers into Christ likeness. If I'm saying that right. Elder Mark, what do you say when we say about that fellowship and then moving to the place where now we're discipling one another?
Amen. Yes. As I was saying, I think fellowship is a basis, but can't be. There is a difference and a delineation between the two, that there comes a point where you have to move beyond just gathering to get to know each other. You've got to come to a point where you're encouraging and helping each other to grow. And that is truly discipleship, that we're showing someone else. The fellowship allows us to show how alike we are, to show that we've had issues, that we've gone through things, that we face things every day, that we're not finished, that we're not a finished work, that God's still moving on us. And then the discipleship helps us not only to grow, but to help someone else to continue to grow, or to start their process of growth in Christ, to leave the ways of the world. So you've shown them a different life in fellowship, but now you have to get to a point where you begin to teach them how to live a different life. Just to show them your example is discipleship, but for them to start to follow you
takes another level for them to agree with you, for them to recognize and not follow you as a person, I mean, but to follow the example, to follow the life that you're living, the path that you're following as a Christian, as a believer, as someone sold out for Christ, as someone who looks at Christ as Lord and Savior, who recognizes who he is, what he's done, and who we are in our lives through him, to go beyond just the meeting part. Once again, I truly, it's, Pastor Watkins, you started with that, opened up so many points, and it's kind of got me to a place where I'm like trying to get my words together, because I never really thought about it to that point, and then it makes so much sense of how fellowship really is the basis, the beginning part. Because as Christians, we want to say the only ones the ones that we fellowship with are like-minded people, but we have to fellowship with, just like Jesus was. They asked, you know, why are you with the tax collectors? Why are you with the sinners? And he said, they need me more than you. They, like, the ones that are still going through are the ones that we have to fellowship with, that we have to get to know, and I have to let them know us so they can see that there is a different life to live than what the world has convinced them of. And that truly is discipleship, to live a life different, to move on to be something greater than what the enemy has tricked you into believing that you can only live. We as men have been convinced that we're only going to be this and we're only going to be that, and we'll never reach a different height. But what God has for us, when we step away from that understanding, when we step away from what the world has shown us, we recognize who God is, whose we are, and the strength that's in us to overcome the very situations that we've had, that we face every day, that have kept us in splitting places, have kept us in a downtrodden place, has kept us in a defeated place. But once we recognize through fellowship that we can get to know someone, once we unify and stand strong with somebody else, we can grow with somebody else. So I think, Deacon Farr, I agree with you, and Pastor Larry, I agree with you both. We need the fellowship, but it can only be the basis to start our discipleship, if that answered the question. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. You know, that's it. This is why I come up with these topics. That way I'm not in the room talking to myself trying to figure this out. Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir? As we look to minister to men and to gather together, and like you said, you know, we talk about this all the time, about pancake breakfasts and all these other things, but when we gather on purpose, as compared to, because at some point, we have to gather on purpose over the things of God. And I think that's where a lot of men's ministries struggle, because, you know, we do so many things to get to draw brothers to the men's group or to the men's ministry gathering. But then when we transition to the discipleship part, to the teaching part, to the prayer part, to the thing that's going to strengthen us spiritually and grow us spiritually, you know, that's when, you know, sometimes the brothers lose interest. So this is why I'm saying is discipleship, fellowship, because, again, are we creating counterfeit conversions or counterfeit Christians? Because, we're just hanging out. It becomes a social thing. But are the brothers truly saved, and are the brothers growing in Christ to the point where their lives are being transformed, their marriages are being transformed, the way they live, the way they talk is being truly transformed and converted? What do you say, Pastor Watkins?
I'm going to take this to another level here. Fellowship is wonderful. Can there be too much fellowship? Yes, there can. With fellowship, it has to be a situation where there is content over quantity, meaning that there has to be plenty of content within the fellowship that overrides the number of pancake breakfasts that you have. Now, when you talk about fellowship, fellowship should be able to reinforce the complete fellowship of the whole church. when I say that, what am I saying? I'm saying that the men's fellowships, the men's meetings, the men's breakfasts, the men's whatever we do in men's ministry should be there to help enforce what's being taught on Sunday, what's being taught in Bible study, and help to build those men to the point of getting them to be disciples, getting set up to be disciples. We encourage the men to come to the fellowship so that they can get to know the men that are there in the church, so that they can get to feel comfortable coming to Sunday morning services, coming to Bible studies, coming to get those teachings that are necessary to grow them, to get them to the point of being disciples. That means that, like I say all the time, I used to tell my guys, don't stop coming. If you're still doing what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing, just don't stop coming. Because eventually, if you keep coming, you'll stop doing what you're doing, because all of this comes together, all of this fellowship, whether it be in worship, whether it be in Bible study, whether it be in men's ministry, whether it be in the pancake breakfast, or whether it be washing cars, all of this reinforces us in fellowship to get us strong enough to get us to discipleship, where we're ready to go out and witness. Now, the thing that I want to hazard us here is to remember that we are not creating disciples for ourselves. We're creating disciples for Christ. Now, what we do create for ourselves is mentors that we teach and help to grow to the point where they become disciples for Christ. Because the pure definition of what you got are those who disseminate the gospel of Jesus Christ, correct? That's the definition that we're working with of disciples. So we are here not to create disciples of our own that we teach, that we encourage. Those are mentors. Those are students. Those are those that we are pouring into. But if we are creating disciples of Christ, then it's a matter of getting them to the point that they believe enough in the vision of the ministry, that they buy into the vision of the ministry, that they begin to grow into the vision of the ministry, that they begin to understand what God has in store for them, that they begin to read their Bible, that they begin to pray, they begin to have quiet time. And then once we get that done, when we have content over quantity, then we have people who are ready to buy into coming to a men's prayer. Then we have people who are willing to come to a men's Bible study and not worry about what we're going to eat. We have people who are ready to come to workshops and fellowships to learn more about being a man of Christ, because the content is raising them to a level where they are ready to now learn and soak up and be obedient and everything else, so that now they can be disciples to spread the word of God. And this is where I think we need to be with men's ministry, is that we need to make sure that there's more content and less quantity. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. Amen. You're in my heart and mind, because you're right. That's the struggle for the pastors and elders out there and leaders of men's groups who listen in or may have listened to this. We all know that's the rub. That's the challenge of men's groups, because we can do a lot of fellowships, but then when it comes time to do the things of God, are we on purpose? You're taking our fellowships to break the ice, to get to know them, to draw them into that we are like-minded. We struggle with the same things. We've overcome the same. We overcome the challenges of life. We have, like I always say, we have more in common than we are different. But now, we want to move to a thing where we're in unity, that we're moving into the things of God. Because that, again, that's the purpose. And I like what you said about making the disciples unto themselves. That's sometimes I'm not going to go that into that, but we sometimes forget, because we get to, I've witnessed it where the men are not following Christ. They're following another man for whatever reason, or how it turns out that they're following another man, and they have no expectation of growth for themselves. And then that's how we get, you know, these cults and these false leaders and preachers preaching anything, because everybody just want to be in the building. They want to be part of something. I think that is a tool the enemy uses, because we don't want to move past the superficial, but we do want to be part of something. So we just follow the man. We're not going after Christ. And then pride and a lot of things can move on a leader to the point where he's not pointing people to Christ, that God has a plan for them. God has a mission and a ministry for them, that God wants to use them, but we're not training them. Because, again, making a disciple of Christ means now we're going to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So are we growing our men? Because, I mean, every man has to look at that. Every man's leader, and even in ministry in churches, we have to see, are we growing people to the point where they're becoming disciples for Christ, and now they can go spread the gospel. They can go out and do evangelism. They can go out and serve, and they're willing to serve because they're serving God, not serving man to be patted on the back. So I think that's where we have that line between the fellowship and we build in relationship and that camaraderie, but then we just want to focus on the leader and not on Christ, if I'm saying it right. Because that's the danger, and especially when you're dealing with babes and new believers, they focus on the man, they focus on the pastor or the leaders, and they're not focusing on Christ, so they can stay where they are. And something I said this before, you know, people get a little upset, but we have folk who their salvation is based on three or four verses, and that's it, because they're not in the Word for themselves. They're not studying the Word for themselves. They don't study for themselves. And I think that's part of, we have to get people to that place where they're studying. And and I'm going to say this, then I'm going to come back around. We're going to shift gears real quick, but you know, let me say it like this. There's men in leadership roles as deacons and elders who, you know, they don't meet the qualifications. Let me say it like that. Because there's certain qualifications the Bible talks about leaders and men that should be able to teach, should be, there's a whole list. There's Titus and Timothy, and they're not living that life. They were ordained for whatever reason, but then they can't fulfill that thing. I've known a lot of, let me say it like this. I know a lot of men who not pastors, necessarily pastors, but I know men who've had titles who were not able to teach, not preach and make you sweat, but can able to teach. And if they can't teach in the congregation, are they teaching in their homes? Amen? So I just want to say that, because, again, all of us have to examine ourselves and where we are. Are you teaching in your home? Are you growing in Christ to the point where now you can disciple your own family? Because if you can't do it in your house, how do you expect to stand before the people of God? How do you expect to go into the community and share the gospel when you can't share the gospel in your safe place, in your home, your wife, your children, you and your wife studying together, praying together? And how can we expect men now to step up and go in evangelism to the world, to the community on their job, if they can't even teach their wives? Amen. I'll stop there because I don't want to lose nobody, but I just want to plant these seeds in the hearts and minds of men to think about who you are. Are you growing in Christ? And has your fellowship overtaken what God has called us to grow men up? I mean, are we making disciples? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. We're here every Wednesday. Excuse me. We're live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. And you also can listen to all of our past episodes by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. All the shows are archived there, and you can listen to those programs. Amen. But we're going to continue. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, you know, because we've said a lot about both. but I want to focus in on a disciple, on what it means to be a disciple. And some of the things, I just want to share a couple of points here, and I want to get your thoughts on them. One of the points is, are we putting Jesus first? Putting Jesus first in all things. A disciple of Christ needs to be set apart from the world. Our focus should be on our Lord and how to please him in every area of our lives. We must put off self-centeredness and put on Christ-centeredness. And I have a scripture reference here. That's Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. And our second point that I want to give to you, brothers, to meditate on and think about is following Jesus Christ's teaching. And scripture I want to give for that is John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We must be obedient children and doers of the word. Amen? So it's about the teachings. And that's, James chapter 1, verse 22. So those are the two things I want to ask you brothers about right now. Putting Jesus first in all things as a disciple, that we are set apart from the world and how we think, how we live, and also the following of the teachings of Christ and being obedient children and doers of the word. We'll start with you, Pastor Watkins. What do you say, sir?
I say that as a disciple of Christ, our job is not to be Christ, but to point them to Christ. A pastor once preached, he said, I am not the light, but my job is to point you to the light. I was not able to save myself. I was not able to baptize myself. I was baptized by someone else, and I was saved by Jesus Christ. So my job as a disciple is not to proclaim my own gospel, but to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to do that, it must not be about me. It has to be about bringing those other people into the body of Christ. Rick Warren, in his book about purpose-driven life, if you read the first chapter, the first line, it says, it's not about you. And that's the point. That's the whole point of discipleship, is that it's not about us. It's about going out and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ so that other men can see, other women can see that there is hope, that Jesus provides a hope for our lives, that the world doesn't, and giving them the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he loves us, that he has everlasting life for us, that all of these things come with him, with being his disciple. And yes, it also requires us to be apt to teach, okay? Meaning that you can't effectively witness without trying to teach something, okay? I can stand in front of you all day reading a Bible, but that's not going to convince you to come to Christ. There has to be some point where I take on a role of a teacher and teach you some things, enlighten you on some things, open some things up to you so that you can see what Jesus is all about, so that you will be willing to accept him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, that doesn't come just by reading the scripture alone. It means that there has to be some extrapolation there. There has to be some exegesis there. There has to be some breaking down and providing some hermeneutics. I'm using my 50 Cent words right now. And providing some understanding of what the scripture is saying so that I can understand someone who has not been saved, someone who does not read the Bible, somebody who does not go to church, can understand what you're talking about and then be able to accept it into my heart to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, yes, we do have to understand that it's not about us. We have to point to Jesus Christ. We are not the light, but we do point to the light. And yes, we have to be ready to teach all of these things. I once asked the men in a church that I was at, that I was teaching at, and I said, if someone came in off the street and asked about Jesus, can we tell them who Jesus is without quoting a scripture? Because we have to realize that we are now in a generation that does not know, that actually does not know anything about church, meaning that we are in a generation where there is no more Big Mama, that we're in a church where grandmamas are 45 years old and 50 years old and going to the clubs just as much as the kids are going to the clubs. We're in a generation where they weren't raised in church like some of us were raised in church or even knew about church. So there's a generation now that does not know about church. Can you explain Jesus Christ to somebody who does not know the Bible, who does not has not been to church, does not know all the religiosity, and explain Jesus Christ to them in words without quoting a scripture? And that's the challenge. That's to be able to be apt to teach. What do you think, Dave?
You know, so you're correct. You're absolutely correct, because that is one of the challenges. Because remember, you know, if any brothers out there, anyone listening is in doubt, look, read the book of Acts. Read what Paul did. Paul went on 3 missionary journeys. He went to Gentiles who did not have the background of the Hebrews, of Israel. He went and preached Jesus Christ. So how are we able, again, if we study to show ourselves approved, we study for understanding of the Word of God. We understand and we're putting Christ first. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. We have come under submission of true teaching, that we not just want to go bowling and football and basketball and picnicking, that we want to come and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Again, we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that we can all teach our families, and now we can go with evangelism. You're right about quoting scripture. Because someone who doesn't have a background in the Bible, you quoting the Bible to them, that's fine. You can quote the passage, the verse, but can you explain it? And like, you know, you were using your 50-cent words. All those words mean, can you explain the scripture to someone that they would understand why they must be saved? What must they do to be saved? Why is it that it's not that the sin is not because of what you're doing? The sin is because of Adam, and that we're all born in sin and iniquity. Can you again, evangelize and share the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus Christ is? And the only way you can do that is if you have it within you, you have an understanding, and to speak about it. Because I understand what you're saying about we have a generation, but to me, I take that back to what did Paul do? Paul has the same challenges that we have, because he went amongst the Gentiles. So if we see the unchurched as Gentiles, we can use the example of Paul and Peter as they went out into the Gentile world, left Jerusalem, went to the outermost parts and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as men, is that your passion to be able to do that? Because is that that passion to be able to teach your wife, to teach your children? You know, your pastor is, you know, he's not your wife's husband. You are. So can you cover her spiritually? Are you in that place that you are mature in Christ, that you're covering her spiritually? Or are you just, again, you just come to church whenever you do? I mean, what's your level of faith? Every man has to look in the mirror and examine yourself. Are you of the faith? Are you growing in the faith? And I think that's where, because you said a lot, and it triggers me that, again, as men, you can't say you're leading something and you don't know the direction. And we have a responsibility as husbands and fathers to be those examples, to be that thing. And again, when it comes to evangelism, can you answer the questions? I say this all the time when we talk to folk about evangelism. Everybody who's asking you a question is not challenging your faith and picking on you. They're asking you because that could be that question. If you can answer that question biblically or show them in the Bible where it is, not quote a scripture, but show them where the answer is in context of the whole Bible, that's a soul that you may be able to reach, because that one question could be the thing that's stopping them from believing, to becoming a convert and becoming in a place where now, man, I learned this from him. Let me go where he go. Let me go to Bible study and see and get some more of my questions answered. Because that's what my pastor says a lot now. You know, Bible studies for whatever day of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it is, that's where you can get all your questions answered. But now that to me is another level of transparency. But now that's why I say about men's ministry. Because if we are building those relationships, becoming more comfortable one to another, as men, we can get those answers to those questions that are hindering the belief of another man. Elder Mark, what do you say, sir? In all that was said.
Amen. Amen. I was just thinking you guys said so much. One of the words that you just said that stuck out to me was transparency. And you spoke about Bible study, and I realized that, you know, a biggest part of discipleship is we have to be full ourselves to feed somebody else. And what I'm saying is we have to take the time to be submissive and to dive into the word, to study, to show ourselves approved, to build a relationship with Christ on just a quote of scripture. When I was younger, and I've been in and out of church, you know, I've gone to a church and then left the church and gone to a church and left the church until I reached a point where I made my own decisions and my wife and I are sold and a part of a effective ministry. But I say that because we left or fell out of a church because of the lack of an example, or the example that we saw didn't fit what we were being taught. So when we're talking about discipleship, we have to live a life that reflects what the Word of God says. We're called, and Deacon Foy, you pointed out there are some of us that, and I'm speaking of men and some of those just with titles, you know, that are falling short because studying. We aren't praying. We aren't building a constant relationship where we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. We're caught up from fellowship with the world that we lose our relationship with God, that we lose our connection to God and we become weakened. And how can we be strong enough to show someone else or to help someone else reach a place where they're desiring growth? What do we do that sets us apart? The word says that we are a peculiar people. And my understanding of peculiar people means that we don't fit into the ways of the world because we are growing to be something different than what the world says we are. You know, the sin of Adam is upon us all, as you said. Sin and iniquity is a part of our life as human beings. But our salvation, the forgiveness of our sin, come from a submission unto God as our Savior, as our Creator, as the one who paid the debt for that sin. When we believe in Him, when we trust in Him, and we walk a life that exudes that, that shows that, someone else has a desire for their life to change. And the transparency part comes from not only admitting that we're still growing, but not forgetting where we came from and what we're growing out of. We as men, and I've met so many men in ministry where it was like they weren't real about who they were. Their life changed for I want to say in a level of perspective. They started looking at the way they lived, something that made them less of a person because they received salvation. But my understanding is what God brought you through is what's going to help somebody else. So that fellowship allows for relationship to be transparent and let someone else see who you were and help them to see who God can bring them to be as he's bringing you to be that person he's called you to be that man, to be that role model, to be that one that can teach his household, to be that one that represents and represents him and then represents God amidst this dark world. You know, I think that this conversation is something that we need to have to recognize where we're falling short in the ministry, when we're falling short and stepping outside of the four walls. You know, Apostle Banks has been leading this study. It's a book called Multiply, but it's truly about discipleship. And it teaches, it's been opening my mind to recognizing how much more growth I need in discipling, that I'm not just speaking, but I'm also showing, that I'm not convinced, that I'm convinced that I need to convince to know who God is and recognize that he still and will always be working on me. And for someone else to be able to see that will help them to recognize they can still be in a situation, but God hasn't given up on them. God is still working on them. God is still bringing them through. And because they believe and trust in him, he'll continue to bless them in the midst of these struggles, these issues. Sometimes what we look at as we're being discipled, the things that we saw as our death are sometimes the very beginning of our life. And I think I'm just in awe of this conversation. So I thank both of you gentlemen for the words you shared, because it just opens my mind really to understanding more about discipleship and the desire to do more outside of what I have done, to be the one that walks out and continues the conversation in the supermarket, to be the one that continues the conversation beyond the prayer breakfast, to go in and say, my brother, how can we grow together to get beyond just this informal meeting, whether it be paintball or basketball or football or a sporting event or sitting around the table to join and eat, but how do I help you grow so we can grow together and help somebody else to grow, that will help somebody else to grow, that grows the kingdom of God. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. Amen. And that's the point. And these are the things that, again, this is what we say about men's ministry here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, that we gather brothers together on purpose to be able to stir up, like the Elder Mark is saying. We have to come together where we're stirring each other's spirit up. We're stirring something up in each every man to think about where he is and where God wants to take him. And does he realize that God has a plan, that God wants to use you, but there's things that you have to start to sacrifice, submit to, and obey so that God can shape and mold you and convert you. Again, if we look at all the apostles, we look at Jesus picked his 12, you know, he picked those 12 brothers out of the community, and he taught them for 3 years. She prepared them, and then the Holy Ghost came. So why are we any different? That now we are going to be under submission, be taught the lessons of the things of God, of Christ Jesus, the doctrines of Christianity, and now with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, once we are converted and believers, that now we can go out. And we can go out, again, I say, it starts in our homes, in part of our local bodies, under the submission and authority of our pastors, of the vision and the mission of our local congregations. And then we go out into these communities, and we're able to share the gospel of truth in our life as people see us. But also, I want to say this, because I know a lot of people say about how people watch you. But again, I want to go with, what's your elevator evangelism going to look like? If you had 5 minutes to share Jesus Christ with someone and what they must do to be saved, what are you going to say in those 5 minutes that will plant a seed in their life, that will stir something up in them, or give God a foothold for that seed, and then someone else will come along and water it? But are we getting in a place where we can do our part, given the opportunity? And then something the other Mark said, our challenges of our life. You know, we watch God bring us through a lot of things. He didn't deliver us I mean, he delivered us from some things, but then he walked us through some things, and we survived them. And that is, again, that could be for a brother we're going to meet down the road. The struggles we had as believers now, not your before Christ, before Christ struggles. I'm talking about the struggles and the things we go through as men of God, who are faithful men of God, who are Holy Ghost-filled men of God, but the challenges and struggles that we went through that God has took us through because how we trusted him and knew that he was going to guide us through, how we'll be able to share that with the next man when he's going through, or for the unbeliever that you can say, you know, my God brought me through what you're going through and he can bring you through. But if you believe that who he says he is, that God will come alongside and walk you through your test, your trial, that you may be an overcomer. Amen? Amen. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Brothers, I'm going to come back around to you for your closing remarks. And again, I appreciate you, brothers, for taking time out and coming on the broadcast. Gentlemen, this is we are live on Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Our next live broadcast, by the time you get this text, will be Saturday, June the 24th at 9 a.m. I encourage you to join us. We want to continue this conversation with fellowship versus discipleship, which will produce the most fruit in our lives. Just to consider it and to stir up something in you. If you heard something that would stir up to you or something you would like to share to encourage you, another brother, please call in, be part of the program. And also, if you received the link for this episode and you feel it would be a blessing to someone, please share the link, text it to them, send it to them, email it to them, and just encourage them. I want to read a couple things before we go because, as always, I had to give you homework and a foundation in the Word, something for you to meditate on and chew on. So we talked about putting Christ first in all things. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 38. Following the teachings of Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. James chapter 1, verse 22. Obedience is the supreme test of faith in God. 1 Samuel 28 and 18. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. John 14 and 21. Jesus also is the perfect example of obedience as he lived a life on earth of complete obedience to the Father, even to the point of death. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And most of all, are we bearing fruit? John 15, verses 5 through 8. And again, are we bearing fruit in the lives we're living? Christian disciples should live fruitful lives, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, good works, and the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12 and 11. So I pray that those scriptures will help you meditate to get you to stir up something in you. Let the word of God meditate in your heart, in your mind, to get you in a place now. What are you going to do with the word? You're going to be hearers of the word, and then are you going to be doers of the word? Right, well, amen. Pastor Watkins, I'm going to start with you, brother, your closing comments, and then Elder Mark, and then Elder Mark, you can pray us out and close us out if you would. Pastor Watkins, sir, thank you again, brother, for being on the program and sharing your wisdom and your insight. God bless you.
Thank you, Deke, man. I wanted to thank you for the opportunity and thank Elder Mark, as always, for his presence and his wisdom. And the thing that I wanted to close out with is that the Bible says we reproduce after our own kind. That means that whoever we are, if we try to, as my pastor would say, shepherds don't create sheep, sheep create sheep. So if we reproduce after our own kind, then the people that we are trying to help to become disciples become carbon copies of us because we are reproducing after our own kind. That means that I have to endeavor to make sure that my life is in order, that my life, that my fellowship, my relationship has been built up enough so that when I go out to help spread the word, that I'm not spreading my own issues, but I am actually spreading the unadulterated, uncut word of God and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to make sure that our relationship is intact. that we are growing, that we are being poured into, that we are receiving the teachings necessary to help make us effective disciples so that when we recreate, we don't recreate somebody that has our issues. We don't recreate somebody that is a disciple for Christ but has the same problems and the same challenges that we do. It implores us that we must be willing to make sure that our lives are right so that we don't reproduce mess after reproducing mess. This is important when we start talking about discipleship, that we have to remember that we reproduce after our own kind. So we must make sure that we keep our life and our relationship, our fellowship intact so that we are the right kind of disciples and can produce and help to produce the right kind of disciples. Deacon, as always, thank you, man, and thank you, Elder Mark.
Amen, amen. I would say this, gentlemen, and just to kind of wrap up what we've discussed, and maybe just some food for thought. But I would say that fellowship is definitely a gateway to discipleship. But the relationship with Christ is the design for discipleship. Once again, fellowship is a gateway to discipleship. But the relationship with Christ is the design for discipleship. Pastor Larry said, we've got to live a life in order to reproduce and produce fruit. We want to make sure that the fruit that we produce is good fruit, that it's of God. So we want to have a relationship. If we're reproducing, and discipling, we want people to follow an example that depends and leans upon God, truly leans upon Christ, truly has a relationship with Christ, and that's what we need, the life we should walk, what we should exude, what we should show. So I pray that everybody listening, those listening that are on the line right now, those that are come back and listen later, and maybe archived, I just pray that you, in taking time to fellowship, you recognize that discipleship is dependent upon a true relationship with Christ. Father God, we honor you. We bless you, Lord God. We thank you for your awesome example, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for who you are, what you have done, for saving us from our very selves, for dying on the cross, Lord God, to pay the debt of sin that we had produced, Lord God, that we had chosen, Lord God. So I thank you, Lord God, for delivering us from that very place, Lord God, taking us into new heights and new understanding, to new outlook, Lord God, to a new perspective, to seeing life from a different way, Lord God, with a better understanding of who you are and thus who we are, Lord God, that we can walk in a different way than what the world has told us we are or what the world has told us we aren't. But we'll lean totally upon you, follow you, acknowledge you, trust you, depend on you, and continue, Lord God, to receive the abundant blessings that come from you and you alone. I thank you for your men of God that have joined together today for this discussion. I thank you for the blessing upon their household. I thank you for the blessing upon their ministry. I thank you for the blessing upon their lives. I honor you. I praise you and praise the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brothers. God bless you.
God bless you.